Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the top of Daf Mem, we will notice a Tanaic source, and you can see that that appears in a frame. In our Gemara marking system, we attempt to frame off all Tanaic sources so as to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. We have also in our marking system topic headings and structural notes that accompany each new section. The topic heading is entitled Nosei. Structural notes entitled Mivneh appear when a new geometric form appears in the Gemara text. We attempt to explain their role under our Mivneh structural note headings in the outside margin. We have a Tanaic source and a topic heading that accompanies this. In the outside margin under the Nosei, we've written Afapi Desodin Betzitzis, which is an inyan of shatnez, even though when we talk about putting tzitzis into a linen garment, part of the tzitzis are wool strings. So in making tzitzis, if inserting tzitzis into a linen garment, you are basically creating a shatnez situation. Nevertheless, mutter, it is mutter. So even though shatnez in tzitzis, when it comes to tzitzis is mutter, b'chol zois asruha, we will see in this Tanaic source that even though by letter of the law, according to Beis Hillel, it is allowed, nevertheless, the common practice was to forbid it. Under our Mivneh heading, we featured a volcano shape, a trapezoid. And in this case, we call it a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. You will notice as you scan ahead on the daf that this shape flips its position back and forth, up and down each time. The narrow part facing upwards in this sugya are she'elois v'hatzos, questions and suggestions, benisayon lahatir hanal, in an attempt to allow or permit that prohibition that seemed to be in practice. Then, when you see the form flipped over, dechios utshuvos, these are rejections and responses, lasbir lama b'chol zois asrua, to explain why, anyway, it remains usur. In other words, what will we be doing in this sugya? We'll be stating that the practice of sodin betzitzis was forbidden, even though by letter of the law, according to Beis Hillel, it's allowed. We will be trying to understand why was it forbidden, and each time we will attempt to say, well, couldn't there be a way out and allow it? At the end of the day, we are going to see why beholds us, why nevertheless it remains forbidden. Once again, we're talking about sodin betzitzis, the idea of putting tzitzis, which contain wool, into a linen garment, which is a function or a situation called shatnez, the prohibition of mixing these two fabrics. So our Gemara begins at the top line, Tonu Rabbonon. We introduce a Tanaic source, sodin betzitzis. Sodin is pishton, flax material that's made into sodin, linen. Betzitzis, having tzitzis inserted into a linen fabric, linen garment. Beishamai potrin u Beis Hillel mechayvin, v'halocha kedivrei Beis Hillel. We see that Beishamai they say that it is exempt already from a Torah level. It's exempt. Beis Hillel says that from a Torah perspective, it is bound, it is chayev, it is obligated, and the halacha shall follow Beis Hillel, that sodin b'tzitzis, linen with wool strings that make up the tzitzis, is obligated. Omer Abelazer Rabit Soda, Valo kol hamatil tcheles b'sadino b'yushalayim, eino elo min hamatmiyin. So Rabbi Lozer says that anyone who puts tzitzis into his linen garment in Yerushalayim is doing something that is a matmian, would mean arouses suspicion or wonderment. It may be pointed out in learning this sugya with Rashi that this comment of Eino Ela Min HaMatmian, according to Rashi, there are two approaches taken. The first approach has Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Tzadok arguing on Beis Hillel, where Beis Hillel said it is allowed. Rabbi Lezer reports the Yerushalayim practice as against putting tzitzis in the linen. Hence, he's pitting the Minig Yerushalayim against the ruling of Beis Hillel. According to the second Lashon in Rashi, which in our marked Gemaras you will notice is entitled or noted as a Roman numeral number 2, in the fourth wide line of Rashi under the Gemara text, there he is presented as arguing, Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Sodek is presented as arguing with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai had said that it is exempt, and the tema was that even though it may be exempt, nevertheless there is no isser involved. Whereas Beis Shammai was saying that it's exempt and prohibited, there's an isser involved. The Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok was reporting that the reaction in Yerushalayim was that it's unusual to do it, but it's not an isser. Hence, according to the second approach, Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok represents a kasha on Beis Shammai. Nevertheless, in our sugya, we're not going to be dwelling so much on that aspect of things, but rather, why, if Beis Hillel says it is allowed, why then is it not practiced? Omar Rebbe im kein loma asuha. Why then is it? Why did they forbid putting the tzitzis into the linen garment? The Rashi, in his first approach, raises the question as follows, explains the question as follows. If it is so that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, so why in Yerushalayim did they not practice it? In the second Lashon of Rashi, the same type of question is presented, namely, if it is so that there is no real prohibition, then why is it that Beis Shammai assered it? The Gemara answer, in this source you find a response, Lefi She'ein Bekiyin. If you'll ask, after all, it's allowed, so then why in Yerushalayim do they not do it? The answer is, Lefi She'ein Bekiyin, people are not expert. They are not aware that there is a special allowance for tzitzis that overrules or supersedes the prohibition of kilayim. So since they're not aware of that special aspect with regard to tzitzis, people will come to think that in general there is no prohibition of shatnez. There is no isser in combining wool with linen, and that would be a grave error. As you can see with our markings, we continue this back and forth discussion. Omarle Rava bar Rav Chana le Rava. Rava bar Rav Chana says to Rava, who is obviously a different individual, the Lirmu be Asara, why not gather together 10 people, the Nafku Lishuka, go out into the public, Umefarsamo Lemilsa, and proclaim that tzitzis is something that supersedes kilayim. if the fear is as the people are not baki or not expert, so promulgate the allowance made for shatnez with regard to tzitzis, and manifest it in public by this announcement in a group of 10 people, which constitutes a significant gathering, which would supposedly make it well known. So the Gemara says that's not a solution. Kol shekein dematmehu iluvan. Rashi explains kol shekein dematmehu iluvan. The Amri people will say anoshim hagumim ka'elu loivshim kelayim. People will say, oh, people like this, these fine people, look at them, how they're wearing kilayim. V'lidrusha b'pirka. Why not teach it in a shiur, in a Torah lecture? Teach that the tzitzis overrule kilayim. The Gemara now answers, I'll tell you why we don't want to have tzitzis put into linen garments. Once again, we should just remind ourselves, tzitzis are made of, let us say, four strings, two of which are woolen strings dyed in a blue dye called tcheles. If you do the tzitzis in a proper fashion, in other words, you take your wool strings and dye them in tcheles, that is what the Torah says supersedes kilayim. However, if you prepare the tzitzis in any other fashion, in other words, you were to dye the wool with, we'll call it a phony dye, which the Gemara calls kola ilon, that's the name of the counterfeit blue dye. If we were to allow sudden betzitzis in general, people will think that people will come to possibly using this counterfeit dye and make tzitzis in that fashion, and that would already be not allowed. That would be prohibited. That would be called kilayim shaloi lemokom mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, Gemara responds that just merely announcing that tzitzis supersedes shatnez won't help, because gezeira mishum kola ilon. We want to prohibit the practice of tzitzis in linen garments in anticipation of kola ilon being used. And as we said, kola ilon would be the counterfeit dye, which is shaloi b'moko mitzvah. The Gemara asks, so what, even if it were counterfeit dye, v'lo yehe ela lovon? Why not view the woolen strings that are dyed with the counterfeit dye as nothing less than white in general? In other words, we learned before that if a person doesn't have the blue strings, the blue does not prevent me from being mekayim, from fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. We have learned before that if he has no tcheles, he puts in white strings. And if that be the case, so then, in general, white woolen strings would be allowed to be placed in a linen garment. So that even if it's not official blue, why should it be viewed as any less than white woolen strings? The Gemara answers, Kevon de efshar b'minon loy. Since there is a possibility of fulfilling the mitzvahs with the correct material, then we do not say, view the counterfeit blue as if it were white. Kidder Reish Lakish. And this analysis is based on Reish Lakish's teaching. Reish Lakish's teaching that we're about to learn deals with the idea of a positive command superseding a negative command. If there is some type of conflict between the fulfillment of a positive command, which would conflict with a violation of a negative command, there's a concept called aseh doicha loisaseh, that positive commands can supersede negative commands. Reish Lakish though qualifies, under what circumstances do we make that allowance? And we will continue now in the Gemara. The Omar Reish Lakish, kol mokom shata moitzei aseh veloisaseh, wherever you find a positive command and a negative command that conflicts, im ato yochol lekayim es shneihem mutov. If you can in some way fulfill both, in other words, mekayim the aseh and not be in violation of the los aseh, that would be the best way. And in that spirit, we would say, if you have, let us say, a linen garment, and you have the strings of the tzitzis, the idea of white strings placed in garments is, as we've learned in previous sugyas, most garments were made of linen, and linen is white. And there is an idea expressed by the posuk hakonof, which we've learned min konof, that two of the strings shall resemble the clothing, the article of clothing itself. So that if the article of clothing is, let us say, white linen, the white strings optimally should be white linen strings. Therefore, white woolen strings would not be placed in a linen garment when I could accomplish the white with white linen strings. And linen, of course, is no problem. So because of that, the idea of saying you can view the counterfeit blue dyed wool as if it were white strings, I would not do that because of this principle. The imlav, if you're in a situation where I cannot mekayim both the positive and the negative, then we say yovoi aseh v'yidche es loisa aseh. And then we say that the aseh, let us take as an example the dyed blue woolen strings. That is the part of the mitzvah of tzitzis, and that's a positive command. Then we say the aseh of tzitzis is doche the lo saseh of shatnez. So that, being that that's the case, when it comes to the woolen, dyed woolen strings of blue, technically speaking, that, not only technically speaking, by basic law, you should be allowed to have woolen, have a set of tzitzis, which is made of white and two blue, the tchelis dyed strings, placed into, attached to the linen garment. Therefore, the question is, why in Yerushalayim did they not do it? The only reason for their not doing it is because of the gezeira of kola ilan. Because if you allow the normal preparation of tzitzis in the context of a linen garment, they may come to using the counterfeit dye. And in that case, as we explained, based on the principle of Reish Lakish, you don't have the heter of aseh doiche loisa aseh. The Gemara asks, if your whole fear is kola ilon v'liv dekua, then why not subject it to a special test which can test for the counterfeit dye? Now, since on the books there is such a test, why is that not the solution? Why not rely on the test? Elo gzeiro mishum ta'ima. There is a fear that people will use the test material, the dye that was used as part of the test, for the actual dying, and or let us say more specifically, they will take the test substance and pour it back into the pot that contains the tcheles dye. So that if, in order to allow this whole situation of sudden betzitzis, I'm going to have to eventually rely on a testing. In the course of the testing, some of the blue dye is, as we said, is tested out for its authenticity. And in taking a test sample of the blue dye for this testing, when I'm finished with it, I might pour it back into the cauldron containing the actual tcheles dye, and that mixture becomes prohibited, becomes unfit. The Gemara asks, v'lichtevo adiski, why not promulgate this prohibition, a warning against pouring test dye back into cauldrons? So the diski is a letter, a manifesto or a letter that's promulgated declaring or teaching this particular prohibition. So the Gemara says, Adiski lekum velismuch. Do you expect me to rely on a letter sent out? I can't rely on the letter that's sent out. The Gemara says, Omar Rava. Rava responds, what do you mean not to rely on a letter? We, for more serious matters, rely on letters. That teach halacha. Hashta chometz bePesach veYom HaKippurim deKores. The issues of when Pesach and Yom Kippur fall out are dependent on, based on court decisions regarding calendar establishment and lengthening years, adding months, and related matters. And in order to inform the public of those matters of calendar affairs, letters are sent out. Samchinon adiski. We rely on diski, even though Pesach and Yom Kippur are matters that could involve a person in the penalty of kores, which is a serious type of punishment. And yet we rely on letters to establish Pesach and Yom Kippur. Hocha, in the case of tzitzis, de'asei ba'almo, here you're involved with merely a positive command that doesn't get involved with an Iser Kores lo kol shekein. All the more so, we could rely on letters. So, just to take stock of where we're holding now, why not allow sudden betzitzis? If you're afraid of kola ilon, so you can subject the dyes to a test. And if you're afraid that people will take the test material and pour it back into the cauldrons containing the tcheles and thereby ruining the tcheles and people still using it and not knowing this problem, just promulgate this prohibition of pouring back test dye into cauldrons and rely on the public's awareness through the letters. Elo Omar Rava. Ho milsa amri v'itmar b'marovo mishum d'rabi zero kaposi. The following I said, and Rabbi Zeiro in Eretz Yisrael said like me, the reason for the Isser of Sodin Betzitzis is Shema Yikra Sadino Besoch Gimel, in making the fabric before tzitzis are placed in creating the fabric that will constitute the article of clothing, we're afraid a rip might develop in that article of clothing. That's Shema Yikra Sadino Besoch Gimel, within 3 fingers. Three fingers is a dimension, is a size, is a length. 3 fingers from the corner. V'yit perenu, and he will sew up the rip that's close to the edge corner of that garment. And in sewing up the garment, he might have a string of the sewing left dangling from that repair job. And then when he comes to put the tzitzis in, he may notice that, hey, he's got already one string attached to the garment, the string from the sewing, and he'll simply add another 3 strings into the garment to complete the four strings that are necessary. V'hatoyra omra ta'aseh v'lo mina osui. And the Torah commands that you're supposed to make the tzitzis and not rely on something that was there before the tzitzis were being made. Now this is called ta'aseh, make the tzitzis initially as tzitzis, v'lo min ha'asui, and not from that which was put into the garment without the intent of tzitzis. And that's the case of this dangling string left over from the sewing. So making tzitzis out of this would not be the mitzvah, and therefore if one were to actually use this dangling string from the linen garment and make the tzitzis, it would be an invalid tzitzis, and therefore you would be encountering the kilayim problem. Shora Rabbi Zeira l'sadine. Rabbi Zeira removed his tzitzis from a linen garment. Of course, in the spirit of that which we just learned, that linen garments are not to have tzitzis in it because of this gezeira. And it turns out this last explanation then has nothing to do directly with the issue of the dye, but rather a problem of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'osui. Rabbi Zeira Omar, Gezeira Mishum Ksus Laila. There's another explanation offered. The reason we don't want sodin betzitzis is because someone might put tzitzis into pajamas, into nighttime clothing, and nighttime clothing are exempt from tzitzis. And if that's the case, if someone were to put in tzitzis into linen garments, they might come to put it into linen pajamas as well, four-cornered linen pajamas, and that would not be within the realm of the mitzvah tzitzis, because the nighttime is exempt from tzitzis. Night garments in this particular case, the pasuk says, "Uriisem oisoi uzachartem," you shall see the tzitzis, and that will cause you to remember the Almighty. And nighttime, there's no light, and there's no natural light, and therefore nighttime garments are exempt. And as we said, when you have a garment that's exempt from tzitzis, you are left then with the original kilayim prohibition. So to put tzitzis into a nighttime garment, which is outside the realm of the obligation of tzitzis, you're thereby simply making a kilayim problem, and therefore there's an across-the-boards prohibition, a gzera, a prohibition ruling against putting tzitzis into linen garments. As you can see, we have a slash mark that appears indicating that which follows is a new idea. However, before we go on in the Gemara, we should take note of the fact we have new geometric forms. And you can see there's a crown form on the third line from the top highlighting Rava's name with a double underline under the following expression, Ahal Milsa Amri. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, the crown highlights Rava's name. There are Shnei Memros Shel Rava, two comments of Rava, Shenemru Gamkein Al Yedei Rabbi Zeira Bima Rava, Beretz Yisrael, Kavosei. That Rava makes a comment, and it's pointed out, or he, Rava himself, points out that which I teach is taught by Rabbi Zeira, like me, Rabbi Zeira having been in Eretz Yisrael. In the following piece of Gemara, we'll see that structure repeated again. However, since the idea that follows is not related to the Gemara that we just learned, we used a slash as well. The Omar Rova, Ho Milso Amri, the Itmar B'Marova Mishmei D'Rabbi Zeira Kavosi. The following I said, and it was said in Eretz Yisrael, Marova Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rabbi Zeira, like me. And the following sugya, we have a topic heading that accompanies it. So let us glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading. Beged Shel Bad, if you have a piece of an article of clothing that's made of fabric, Uknofois Shel Or, and the corners are made of leather, Oy HaHefech, or you have a garment made of leather and the corners made of fabric, Mahu Legabi Tzitzis. What's the law with regard to tzitzis in such a garment? He'ora, we want to point out something. Beged or eino chayav betzitzis. If you have an article of clothing made of leather, a leather garment is not chayav in tzitzis. So in the Gemara, the Rava's teaching is as follows: He shel beged v'knofeho shel or chayevis. If the basic article of clothing is made of fabric and the corners are made of leather, chayevis is obligated to have tzitzis. He shel or uknofeho shel beged. If the basic garment is made of leather and it has corners made of fabric, ptura, it's exempt. My taimo, why is it exempt? Answer: Iker beged bo'inon. In order for there to be an obligation of tzitzis, we need the primary article of clothing to be fabric. It's not sufficient if the corners are fabric. Rav Achoy ozil boser konof. Rav Achoy represents a dissenting opinion who says we should emphasize the nature of the corner. Again, we see a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new idea. Before going on in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our nosei, our topic heading that accompanies this section. The nosei, in the outside margin, hitil tzitzis lebeged balas gimel kronos. A person put tzitzis into an article of clothing that was three-cornered. Now, a three-cornered article of clothing is dover she'eno chayav betzitzis. So he put the tzitzis into a three-cornered garment in a state of non-obligation. V'hishlimo ledalid, and then altered that article of clothing and created a fourth corner. And then put tzitzis into the fourth corner. Ha'im hu posol mishum ta'ase velo min ha'osui. Is this unfit? Is this incorrect because of the principle that we actually had alluded to before, in the case of the loose string left over from the sewing? Is this a problem of the rule of taseh v'lo min ha'osui? One is supposed to make tzitzis. The initial making involves the inserting of strings into a garment that is obligated. In this case, we have three of the corners with inserted strings and inserted tzitzis in a situation where it was not obligated. Upon making the fourth corner, you then discovered that you had pre-made strings, so to speak, pre-made tzitzis that were made in a non-obligated fashion. That's what's called the lo min ha'osui, not from something that was made in a non-obligated way. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rova, Omar Rav Schoiro, Omar Rav Huna, Hitil Lebalas Sholosh. Person put tzitzis into a garment that had three corners, which, as we said, is a garment that's exempt. Fishlimo La'arba. And after the tzitzis were placed into this garment, he made a fourth corner. And then put tzitzis into the fourth corner. Psula. This garment is not. The tzitzis making here is invalid. Mishum, because of the principle of tase velo min ha'osui. And in this case, the three first sets of tzitzis were made in a state of non-obligation. Shaloi kemitzvosa. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form as far as this sugya is concerned. We see a triangle that appears, and as you scan ahead, you'll notice the triangle flipping back and forth. In our outside margin, we have the Mivneh heading. The triangle is featured, and you see an expression in parentheses, ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the triangle point facing upwards, kushyos al Rav Huna she'omar posel. These will be questions on Rav Huna, who declared the case to be posel, the hitil ba'ala sholosh being invalid. With the triangle flipping over, those represent responses, true voice. We'd like to point out that if you scan ahead till the end of this Gemara, this section, this sukya, and you can see the end where the next slash appears, the final position of the triangle that will be presented is with the point facing up. In other words, we'll end off this sukya with a challenge to Rav Huna's teaching. In addition, we will notice a diamond around Rabbi Zeiro's name. These are Memros Shel Rabbi Zeiro. We have a diamond coming up soon, and then five lines from the bottom, you'll notice another diamond. It may be pointed out that the second diamond in Rabbi Zeiro is after a slash mark, indicating as far as the ideas of the sugya are concerned, there on the surface it would appear to be a new sugya, the second Rebbe Zera, not connected to this Rebbe Zera. However, this we've noted, Simun Ze Yo'il La Gemara B'Mem Aleph Amad Aleph. This marking, this diamond will be of benefit. The use of the diamonds will be of benefit when we get to the Gemara on Daf Mem Aleph Omed Aleph. Now, turning to the Gemara, we've learned Rav Huna's din that said that Hitul Baal Sholosh and was mashlim to four corners is possible because of Taz Evelim and Asri. Now we have a triangle, a question, a challenge to Rav Huna's psak Meisvei. We have a source, a Tanaic source, that says, Hasidim Rishonim, the early pious ones, Kevon She'orgu Ba Gimel, Hoyumatilin Lo Treves, as they were weaving fabric, fabric that ultimately would be made into an article of clothing. As they were weaving fabric on the loom, and they wove an initial 3 fingers width of fabric. 3 fingers, Gimel Etzbalos, is called a Shi'ur Beged. It's called a beged as far as Torah law is concerned. So when it reached, when this eventual sheet of fabric reached a mere, in its initial making, a mere 3 etzbos, they placed 2 sets of tzitzis, 2 corners, the 2 corners that were just formed, they put tzitzis in them. That's what it means. Kevan she'ogubo gimel hoyu matilin lo treves. Treves is a word for tzitzis. So in 2 corners, even though the garment hasn't been, is just at the early stages, at the very beginning, it's a type of, we'll call a piece of fabric that, technically speaking, is not obligated in tzitzis. Yet, they put 2 corners of tzitzis in already. Eventually, the garment would be made and reach a size where it is obligated in tzitzis, and simply put 2 more corners of tzitzis in. What do we see from this? We see that even though the first pair of tzitzis that were placed in, the first 2 corners, were not obligated, that's parallel to the case of the 3-cornered garment above, namely something not obligated. They then finished off the weaving and put in 2 more strings, 2 more sets of tzitzis, thereby having what we think is a kosher garment with tzitzis in it. And we're not bothered by the fact that the initial corners were done in an unobligated fashion. That's a kasha then on Rav Huna. The Gemara responds, Emo, reread this source. Kevon shepotsu ba gimel. This expression, potsu ba, means when they reached the end of the garment. They reached a point within the last 3 etzbos of garment making. Hoyu matilin lo treles. Only at that point did they start putting in the tzitzis. When they came to a point in the weaving, they didn't finish the entire weaving, but they're almost finished. They reached the point of weaving at which they would add an amount of fabric, just another 3 minus a mashua, almost 3 more etzbos of fabric. But even though they didn't finish the actual weaving, they then put in all of the tzitzis. Let's say from the outset, they now, for the first time, put in tzitzis. And since the garment is within the last 3 etzbos of weaving, tzitzis that are placed in that close to the eventual edge, that is legitimate, because they're placed in a position that is obligated to have tzitzis anyway. So with that in mind, the source does not present a problem to of velo min ha'osui, because this is a taaseh, this is the making of the tzitzis at a point that it is actually obligated to have the tzitzis. The Gemara asks, challenges the whole principle. Omi amrinon taaseh velo min ha'osui? Do we really say that that is a problem? That taaseh velo min ha'osui would be, if it's min ha'osui, it would be possible. V'ama Rabbi Zeira hitil lemuteles. If a person had a garment that had its 4 corners with tzitzis in it, and then I added another 4 sets of tzitzis into this garment. And then, after I put in the new tzitzis, I remove the old ones. I remove the four that were there originally. This garment is considered kosher. It's considered okay. Now, when I'm putting in the second four tzitzis, I'm putting them into a garment in a state where it doesn't need to have these second set of four tzitzis placed in. So that would seem to be a problem of it's osui. It's not a case of asiya putting tzitzis into something that is obligated. And yet, upon the removal of the original four tzitzis, things are okay. Answer, Omar Rava, Hashto b'bal toisif koi, maise lo havi. We've written in the word benichusa, meaning that you should just read this as a statement, Rava's answer, his response. Very often, when you see in the expression hashto in a Gemara, it's read with a sense of wonderment. Here, to convey the pshat of the Gemara, it's recommended to read it as a statement that Rava is saying that by putting in the second set of four tzitzis, he is in violation of Baal Toisif. There's a rule in the Torah that says you should not add to that which the Torah commands. So if the Torah commanded four tzitzis in a garment, and you're putting in now another four for a total of eight, you're in violation of Baal Toisif. Being that I'm doing an anti-Torah act, we can't classify that as a maisa, as an action. Because it's anti-Torah, it's simply a non-action. My placing the tzitzis in is not considered an action whatsoever. The action takes place only upon the cutting off of the original four. So at that point, I am now making the tzitzis for the first time. If we look in the Rashi, toward the end of the Rashi commentary, Omar Rava, Le'olam Sheloi Letzorech, in general, like in the case of the three-cornered garment, that's called Sheloi Letzorech, that's Min He'osui Karinon Bei. We would refer to that as being, in fact, a problem of Min He'osui. Just like Rav Huna said, V'hocho, in the case of Hitil Lemutelis that Rabbi Zera spoke about, Legabi Lahochi Machshura Bibasroi, the reason that we can allow the garment to be considered acceptable with the second set of tzitzis in it, Dekoi Bibal Toisif Ki Avdinu. When he put in the second set, he was violating Baal Toisif, the prohibition of adding beyond that which the Torah requires. Velo havu maisa. It was considered a non-action. A non-action is something of less significance than an action done when there's no obligation. This is weaker, so to speak. The kaven di oivral divrei Torah lo mikri maisa. Since he's in violation of a Torah principle, in this case adding a second set of tzitzis which the Torah does not require, what he is doing is a non-action. Hilkoch ki posik l'kamoi, therefore at the point that he cuts off the original tzitzis, he have yo asiyosan debasroi. That is considered the action in the making of the real tzitzis, name in this case the second set of tzitzis. Avol shaloi l'tzorech debalas gimel, sheino over alein, in a situation where you're putting tzitzis into something that's simply not obligated whatsoever, like the case of the three-cornered garment, where he is not in violation, there's no prohibition of putting tzitzis into a three-cornered garment, simply unnecessary, but there's no violation. Have maisa, that is considered an action, la'akruye tzitzis v'asir b'psul, to be considered tzitzis that were made in an invalid way. The ika Kishagimro, and then when he completes it, when he makes the fourth corner, then he involves himself with the problem of Taaseh Velo Min He'osui. The making should be done properly, and not that which was made in a state of non-obligation. But point we must emphasize, Taaseh Velo Min He'osui indicates an action, a maisa that was done when there was no obligation. However, like we just got finished saying, in a case where the supposed action is done in concurrence with a violation of a Torah principle, that's not even classified as an action. So, ironically, when you're doing something that's very prohibited, not just non-obligated, but actually prohibited, that's of such a low and insignificant nature so that it's not even classified as an action. Therefore, when I come to cut off the original four corners of the four sets of tzitzis, that is for the first time an action. And at that point, since I'm removing the original tzitzis, I'm now with the four second set that's placed in there, that is considered their making. Turning back to the Gemara, Maskif lo Rav Popa. Rav Popa attacks Rava's response and says, Mimai de gavra lo sofi kol michavein. Who says that the person, when he was putting in the second set of tzitzis, the garment had four tzitzis in it already, and now he puts in a second four. Says that his intention was la'osofi, to add to the Torah's requirement. Maybe his entire intention is simply to mevatel, to void the original tzitzis that were there. In other words, he is viewing this second set of tzitzis as essentially not an addition to, but a replacement of. He's trying to cancel the four original tzitzis, ubal toisif leko, and as a result of that, since his intention is not to add to what the Torah commands, because he doesn't have that intention, he's not in violation of a Torah precept of bal toisif, and since he's not in violation of a Torah precept, maisa ika, what he's doing is considered an action. Now, as far as the need for adding the second set, there is no need. There's no actual need to add the second set. So he's adding a second set in a situation of exemption. And yet, Rabbi Zera ruled that Hitil Lemuteles is kosher. This would be against Rav Huna, because Hitil Lemuteles, adding a second set of tzitzis in a situation of non-obligation, is no different than the case of the three-cornered garment with tzitzis placed in, also a non-obligation situation. And if we accept that Hitil Lemuteles is kosher, then in the case of Rav Huna, and also, when you made the fourth corner and added tzitzis to it, even though the first three were placed there in a non-obligation way, it should be okay. And as Rashi says, at this point then, if you accept Rabbi Zeiro's teaching of Hitl Matosis Kshera, the original question comes back. The original challenge to Rav Huna comes back, namely, who says that Taaseh Velo Min He'osui is in fact a problem? So as we mentioned before, this particular section of Gemara leaves you with a sense of question and not an answer. However, we go on with a new discussion. There's a slash mark indicating that this is a new discussion. We have this diamond, which simply was referred to before as an additional memra of Rebbe Zera. We also have a Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. As you can see, we feature a double underline with dots in it. This marking will come up shortly. The Gemara is also accompanied by a numbering that you'll find to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. In this case, the second line from the bottom, there's a 1, which has a corresponding marking, the double underline with dots in it, and this is in anticipation of a number 2 that will appear in the upper part of Mem Aleph Amen Aleph. in order to appreciate what we are about to do, let us look at our Nosei Mivne heading, where we see the double underlined dots featured. Shlavim, stages, benisayon, in an attempt, lahavin, to understand, meimro hashniyo sh'Rabbi Zera, the second comment of Rabbi Zera, which says, tcheles ein bo mishum kilayim, vafilu betalis ptura. He says that tcheles, when you're dealing with tzitzis, when you're dealing with tzitzis, tcheles is a word for tzitzis, there is no, it says, ein bo mishum kilayim, which would seem on the surface to mean there's no kilayim, there's no shatnez problem, even when dealing with a talis ptura. We've dashed underlined talis ptura because that will be the focus of the Gemara's questioning. What is he talking about? In the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar of Matona, Omar Shmuel, Tcheles ein bo mishum kilayim vafilu betalis ptura. When you're dealing with the mitzvah of tzitzis, there is no violation of kilayim, even if you're dealing with a talis ptura. The Gemara asks, and we featured this piece of Gemara with a long question marking, the shin, you can see is encircled at to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical dashed line that continues down the upper part of Mem Aleph Amen Aleph. Only when you get to that point, you will see the Gemara's response. So hence, all of this is question material. So the question right now is, what is talis ptura? Ilemo de les bo shiura, that you're dealing with a garment that is below the minimum size that is expected to have tzitzis in it. There is such a thing as a garment that represents a minimum size. Now, if you're going to tell me that there is no problem of shatnez if you're dealing with a less than minimum size garment, we will see shortly that that is not true. In other words, by the time we get to the end of the long question, we will see that there is no exemption or allowance for a shatnez violation if you're dealing with a subsized garment. Therefore, we'll have to come, when we get to Mem Aleph Omed Aleph, where our number 2 is located, the Gemara there will say, oh, my ptura, what is the case of ptura? That's the case of hitil lumutelis, a rather familiar concept. That's the case of placing a second set of 4 tzitzis into something that was already equipped with its tzitzis. And even though you are, we'll say, adding shatnez, so to speak, there is no violation in the fact that you have a second set of unnecessary tzitzis in this garment. That will be the answer to this question. But until we get there, we have to go through a lengthy discussion. So the Gemara had recently asked, what is meant by talis ptura? And if you'll say it's a subsized garment, but that is not true. It's not true that there's a kilayim exemption in a subsized garment. V'hatanya, we have the following Tanaic source. Talis. Talis is an article of clothing, and we've indicated with an aleph that there's 2 sections to this source. Aleph, shehakoton niskase b'roshiv ruboy. It's an article of clothing that a child, that would cover a child, his head and most of his body. V'hagodol yoytze bo derech aroy. And an adult would wear this garment. And now, an adult being a larger human being, this would not cover the same percentage of his body as the child's body is covered. So, if he were to wear it, he would probably wear it for just a moment. And that's what is meant here. He goes out derech haroi. He goes out on a momentary basis with this kind of, or with this size garment. If it has these dimensions, we'll say, it's chayeves betzitzis. After all, you're dealing with something that an adult would wear, even though momentarily. However, ein hakoton miskase boi roshiv ubo, if it's so small, this article of clothing, that it wouldn't cover the majority of a child's body, afapi shagodol yoytze bo aroi, even if an adult would go out wearing this, go outdoors wearing this momentarily, ptura, it's exempt from tzitzis. V'chein le'inyan kilayim. And likewise, with regard to the issue of shatnez, of mixing wool and linen. And as we've said already a number of times, in the preparation of tzitzis, you are dealing with the mixing of wool and linen. V'havinan bo, and we ask, my v'chein le'inyan kilayim, what do you mean? And likewise, with regard to kilayim or shatnez, I leimo v'chein le'inyan isura de kilayim, if you are to explain that just like we say there's an exemption with regard to tzitzis, there is an exemption with regard to the violation of shatnez, of kilayim, that's not true. V'anan tanan ein aroi b'kilayim. When it comes to shatnez, the idea that it's something is worn only momentarily is not a mitigating reason. The Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, V'chein L'inyan, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok comes to explain what does V'chein L'inyan Kilayim mean. He says, V'chein L'inyan Sodin B'tzitzis, meaning there is also a prohibition that if you have this subsized garment, namely it's ein hakotan miskasa b'rosh v'rubo, we call that a subsized garment, there is a prohibition of sodin betzitzis, the is which we understand to mean an iser of kilayim. Ela my ptura, what was meant by the original comment that we saw on Mem Amud Beis, where Tchelis Ein Bo Mishum Kilayim Afilu Betalas Ptura, that there is no shatnez violation when it comes to a matter concerning tzitzits, even if you're dealing with a talis ptura. Now, a talis ptura cannot mean a subsized garment, as we just proved that a subsized garment does involve one with a kilayim prohibition. So what was Rabbi Zeira teaching us? Answer, hitu lemutelis. Putting tzitzis into a garment that already had proper tzitzis in it. The second set of tzitzis are essentially unnecessary. In putting tzitzis into a garment, though, as we've said, you are creating a kilayim situation. So Rabbi Zeira's chidush here is that even though this garment is exempt from tzitzis, being that it already has tzitzis, my additional set of tzitzis does not constitute a violation of shatnez. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Amra Rabbi Zeira Chada Zimna?" But Rabbi Zeira already taught us this. You'll notice we have an arrow pointing to Mem Amud Beis. If you look back to Mem Amud Beis, you see an arrow which indicates Mem Aleph Amud Aleph opposite the first diamonded Rabbi Zeira. At that point, Rabbi Zeira said that Hitil Lemutelis is Kshera, so that we would know from that already that which the second Rabbi Zeira diamond is seeming to teach. So the Gemara answers, this isn't a function of a, let's say, a situation of redundancy. It's simply as follows: Chado michlal dechaverta itmar. It's not as if Rabbi Zeira made two separate statements, but rather he made one statement, and the second halacha is derived from the one statement that he made. Let us look at the Rashi. Chado michlal v'chaverti itmar, michlal dehitil mutelis kshera. Once he told us that putting tzitzis into an already tzitzis-equipped garment is considered legitimate, from which we learn that if you then, after putting in the second set, then you remove the first set, the garment is fine, it's considered kosher with tzitzis. So from hearing that, itmar hach dekilayim, I was able to conclude the halacha concerning the exemption of kilayim. As we know, when you are dealing with making tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis supersedes the Torah prohibition of shatnez, and therefore, once you tell me that hitul mutelis is kosher, I understand that as far as Shatnez is concerned, there would be no violation. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.